Unlocking the Minds of Athletes, Episode 63.
Welcome to Unlocking the Minds of Athlete podcast, hosted by NFL veteran Isaac Byrd at isaacbyrd.com. 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, you'll hear from the best mental game coaches and certified sports psychologists in the country that works directly with Division I and professional athletes across all leagues. These experts will guide you on a journey to maximizing your athletic and or coaching ability by mastering the mental game of sports. And now, here's your host, Isaac Byrd.
Welcome to another episode of Unlocking the Minds of Athletes. I am your host, NFL veteran Isaac Byrd. My interview for you today is with Reginald Younger Jr. of VRC Sports Psychology Performance Group.com. Now, the quote he uses at the top of the show is from John Wooden, and it is, "Enjoy the present hour, be mindful of the past, and neither fear nor wish the approaches of the last." And he goes into detail about what that means to him. Two things to listen for during this interview. First, Reggie gives his definition of an athlete that is mentally tough, and it's a little bit different than what we heard before on the show. And second, he walks us through training he gave an athlete that was coming off of two major knee injuries to make sure they were mentally ready to compete. Now, during the scenario, Reggie discussed how he would help a tennis athlete stay in the moment and put their best foot forward to win the match after a double fault. Now, stick around to the end, because during the training round, he goes into detail how he helps athletes eliminate negative thinking during competition and to stay focused at the task at hand. Okay, let's get to the interview. Now, I'm really excited to have a conversation with my guest on the show today, with Reginald Younger Jr. Now, Reggie is a certified sports psychology consultant by the Association for Applied Sports Psychology, which is the largest sport and exercise psychology professional organization in North America. His areas of research interest include the psychology of athletic injury, including concussion, eating disorder, gender and diversity, and the role of exercise in mental health and wellness. He is the founder of Visualize, Recognize, Capitalize Sports Psychology Performance Group, VRC, whose motto is "See it, feel it, conquer it." Reggie, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining me on the show.
Thank you for having me, Isaac. I really appreciate it, and thanks for that intro.
Absolutely. Well, I've given our listeners a little bit about you. Why don't you take a minute, tell the listeners a little bit more so they can get to know you, and tell us about your business.
Okay. Well, I'm a sports psychology consultant for ASP, the Association for Applied Sports Psychology. My educational background was a bachelor's in broadcast communications and journalism. I wanted to be a journalist and sportscaster. That got a little bit derailed from Weber State University. That's where I went undergrad, and took a while, went through a lot of different jobs, and then got to School of Professional Psychology, Argosy University, Phoenix. A friend tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, why don't you go into sports psychology?" And I said, "Well, I don't know anything about psychology. I barely know who Freud is." He said, "You don't need to know that. They're going to teach you all that." So the rest is kind of history in getting the master's in sports psychology many years later after the bachelor's, just going through that and a practicum and the internships and mentorship. So worked out very, very well. I decided to start my practice because I was working with a particular client, an Olympic luge client, who happened to be a teenager. And I tend to work with 12 through 18 and then 18 and up, of course. And they paid me. So I said, "Well, you better start your LLC." So I had some background with some friends starting LLC. So I just went ahead down to the commission and got all the paperwork done, and it was painless. The cost was minimal, not as much as I thought. Got some copyrights and things like that, and then built the website, which we're actually in process of rebuilding to get it a little more modern. It's got some WordPress in it, but we're going to get it a lot more modern. But just started from there, and I've had bodybuilders and then of course my lacrosse team, which by the way just won their fourth straight championship for state.
Nice.
So I'm really, really pleased with that. So worked out good.
Wonderful. Excellent, excellent. Well, Reggie, at the top of the show, we love to ask our guests for a quote of the day. Do you have a special quote you'd like to share with our listeners?
Sure, sure. One that I really like is, enjoy the present hour, be mindful of the past, and neither fear nor wish the approaches of the last. I believe that's a John Wooden quote that I had. Yeah, the meaning behind it is for athletes to stay in the moment.
Nice.
Stay in the present, and non-athletes as well. Sometimes we tend to visualize too far instead of staying in that moment one step at a time and enjoy the journey and the process. So that's what that means. But be mindful of the past. Be mindful of what happened yesterday or in last week's game. Just be mindful of it. Don't dwell on it, whether it's a win or a loss or a tie. And then do not fear nor wish the approaches of the last. I don't fear that you made a mistake where you had an opportunity, let's say, to go to goal. Don't fear those things, because if you dwell on those, you're going to stay in that moment, and it could carry over to your next game.
Nice. Stay in the moment is one of the things that athletes, especially our younger athletes, really have a problem with. When they start to make mistakes, one mistake turns into two, and then a bad start turns into a bad performance. So really find a way to stay in the moment, let those bad mistakes go. Now, one of the things I hear all the time, Reggie, and I'm sure you hear it a lot, especially dealing with younger athletes, is this whole thing that's called mentally tough. We hear it after professional games now. You hear coaches say, yeah, you know, our team's showing a lot of mental toughness. Even our professional athletes are saying it. And I even hear some parents now of younger athletes saying, I want my child to be mentally tough. But no one really gets into it, you know, what that means.
Right.
Do you have a definition to that term, someone that's trying to be mentally tough?
Yeah, one thing is I don't use the term that much. I think it has different connotations for different people. My focus is more is on the mental game, of course, but I just say it a little bit differently.
Okay.
I may say, be mindful of your situation. Let's take football, down and distance, situational football, being ready to play, being prepared. That's being mentally tough. Not, you know, going after the ball and just, you know, getting frazzled or whatever. I think mentally tough is being prepared for the outcome, being prepared for the journey, being prepared for your opponent. So I use it in a different connotation, which means pretty much the same thing. I just spin it a different way as far as mental toughness. I just say mindfulness, stay in the moment. How's your focus today? Those types of things.
I like be mindful of your situation. Mm-hmm. I really like that. You know, just being aware of everything that's going around you within that particular moment. Don't get too far ahead. Don't dwell in the past too much. Just be mindful of the situation around you and take advantage of that particular moment that you have in front of you.
Right. Exactly.
You work with some injured athletes.
Mm-hmm.
What are some different situations or problems that you run into when working with a younger athlete that's coming off an injury? Say they're in season and the athlete has to miss a couple of games, referenced as opposed to an athlete has a season ending injury.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So missing a few games, let's take lacrosse.
Yes.
Being that I'm in that right now. Or even let's take bodybuilding, and there's a shoulder problem and it happened in competition, or a concussion or an ankle. So in the lacrosse field, let's say you do get, you know, hit in the head and you're out for a week, let's say, or two. They don't have headgear in the female game, but they have they're kind of like hats, sort of.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what you have to try to help the athlete know is, okay, this happened one time, And you have to pull them mentally through it and have them visualize more success than the stick coming at them. And when the stick comes at them, they don't move. They don't flinch. It's like a batter when he gets, like, let's say, Giancarlo, the kid from the Marlins when he got hit
Stanton.
In the Orioles,
yeah.
Stanton. Okay, yes. And he has the protection on, and I believe he said he wanted to take the protection off eventually. Well,
yes.
He has to get right back in the batter's box and visualize what he's done well, and
yes.
That's what I have my student athletes do: visualize what you've done well. Don't visualize on the negative or the occurrence. I had a young lady who had a knee injury toward the end of her tenure, and she hurt her knee in the same spot on the field twice. So she's back with us this year. So after a few months, so this is, you know, catastrophic injury type.
Yes.
So after months in the rehab, what we did together was we went back on the field to the same spot with nobody around, and then said, okay, how do you feel? She goes, I'm okay. Let's run a little bit. Let's stop at the spot. How do you feel? I'm good. Are you seeing anything? No. Okay. So then we get our sticks. We play around a little bit. We play catch in that spot. So they're visualizing more success, not the injury. So that seemed to work for her because she has her knee brace. She fell a couple times. You're not in the same spot, but got right back up and there was no problem. So I would ask her maybe on the sideline, anything happened there? Now, notice I didn't use the word any flashbacks,
right.
Hurt, anything like that, because I didn't want to take her back to that time. So I said, anything happened there? She goes, no, I slipped a little bit, but I was able to catch the ball and get my ground ball and get back up. So we focused on the lacrosse, not the injury.
When athletes are coming off an injury, say they're medically cleared to continue playing, how difficult, in your experience, how difficult is for that athlete to, although they know they're medically cleared to go out and play, the whole mental aspects of actually being able to run full speed and just let everything go? I mean, how long is that process? How difficult for an athlete to actually get over that injury when it comes to the mental aspects of it?
Sure. I think it does take a lot of time. And like you were saying, the physical is fine.
Yes.
But then the physical may not be fine. Just because you're medically cleared doesn't mean you're physically fine and or i.e. mentally fine.
That's right.
You may be cleared to play. Okay, coach, he can play. But is the shoulder okay? Is the knee okay? What's the person thinking about? So how I've been successful is that is in-game situations. Just get back up on the horse or find a situation where, let's say, and this is more with kids, you fell down on your bike, right? It hurt, right? But you got right back up, right? Okay. Now, something catastrophic, you try your best to put the career ending out of the way. And if that may be, so be it. But you want to stay as far away from that as possible. The other thing I use are a lot of cue words and cue phrases for injured athletes and non-injured athletes. So on that person's wrist, they may put calm, I feel fine, no fear, journey, process. Any word that's going to get them away from when things are down, they get away from it. Or when things get dark, they may have a phrase called all in. I'm all in this. It's not going to happen again. So something to that effect.
Before an athlete is injured, Reggie, you know, the athlete has goals for the season, goals that they want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Now, coming off an injury, do you help that athlete readjust the goals?
Sure.
Should the athlete goals be less than what they were before?
I'm not sure they should be any less, but there's going to be a readjustment. You know, with
okay.
SMART goals, we have the R word, which is realistic.
Nice.
And we have to deep down ask ourselves, okay, so you wanted to score 100 goals. At this point where you're at right now, is it realistic to you? And if it's realistic to you, okay. But if it's not, where do you see yourself? Or do we focus more on the team goal and team aspect, which I think athletes should be doing? Do we focus on the team goal and let the realistic goals come? Because sometimes what I will do is have them focus on team, and those other goals will come, or a goal they didn't expect may come. Maybe they don't have a lot of assists, and all of a sudden their assist ratio jumps up. Mm-hmm. So we got a goal we didn't even think about.
Oh, nice.
We may not have scored, but our assists went up, which is going to help us as well for the team aspect. Then the following year, guess what happens? We're going to start looking for people. They're going to look for you. You most likely are going to score more.
Why is this important, Reggie? Well, because I mean, the things that I hear is athletes say, hey, Isaac, I want to get bigger. I want to get stronger. I want to get faster. Mm-hmm. So why is it important for athletes to be able to have this mental aspect of sports as well, before injury, after injury, the goal setting, the affirmations? Why is that important for an athlete when it comes to maximize their athletic ability?
Well, I think it's part of the package of being an athlete. You know, it's the all-encompassing process of being in athletics. Working, let's say, taking after injury, maybe one of your goals is better rehabilitation. Let's take Derrick Rose.
Yes.
That's a good example.
Absolutely.
So he may have had goals, okay, I'm going to rehab differently this time. The first goal he had when he first got injured was rest.
Yes.
Okay, I got injured again. I'm going to rehab differently. Maybe something we did in rehab didn't work. Let me talk to my trainers and powers to be. I think it's very important for the all-encompassing athlete to write down some things that they want to accomplish by, if they need to get stronger, okay, what is the path to get stronger? If they need to work on down and distance and study their playbook more, what is that going to do? How are they going to do that and be effective on the field? Maybe one of their parts is the teammate thing. How are they going to work with teammates? That type of thing. But I think it's important to have a plan, a comprehensive plan to move forward.
When an athlete is injured, let's just say an athlete going into his senior year, his or her senior year, and maybe it's the summertime and he has a serious injury, say an ankle, where he needs surgery, and now he's concerned about starting the season coming off an injury. Do you see those situations being maybe harder to work with an athlete because they know their time is a lot is cut tremendously shorter than, say, a freshman coming off a major injury?
Sure, I think it can be, but I think there's ways to work around that. One of the ways you want to work around that is using some visualization of what they've done well throughout their career. What I tell my athletes, and I use this with lacrosse quite a bit, I take a mason jar, and the mason jar is empty. So let's say we have a good practice or a good team win or whatever. I hold the bottle up. I wave air in that bottle, and I seal the bottle up, all right? And I say, keep it in the bottle before that game or before the next, like in the championship game. What I did was I had a photo of past champions in the bottle and what they did, and I did a speech on that. Then I opened the bottle and waved it around to each girl. Now the bottle's open. So with that injured player, it's kind of the similar thing. It's like whether you're bottling a Coke, a Pepsi, or whatever, there's some, or a recipe. There's something in that recipe that makes it good, right?
Yes.
So the bottle inside, there's a recipe. There's spices. There's all these different things. We're going to extract everything and remember those good times and move you forward. Again, staying in the moment, not keeping both feet in as a senior. And that's what I would tell that injured athlete. Okay, one foot is out right now. You're getting ready to graduate. One foot is in. You were injured coming off of your final year. You hope you're going to get picked up by a college. You're
right.
Worried about that. Keep
right.
both feet in. You keep both
wow.
feet in and concentrate on the moments at hand and the task at hand. The colleges will come. They won't always come, but somebody's going to come. I have to instill in my athlete that somebody on this planet is going to want you.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes, you were injured. Let's take the case in point of Todd Gurley.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now we know he's injured.
Or yes.
Was injured. We know it's going to take some time. But if you listen to him, he's going to be fine. And the team that took him, I believe it was the St. Louis Rams, almost said Los Angeles Rams, forgive me.
Well, I'll be in Los Angeles probably
yeah.
next year.
Right. Because not yet, right? He knows he's going to be fine. The kid
exactly.
who was very devastated from South Carolina that the 49ers took.
Yes, Lattimore.
Worried about getting drafted. At least somebody picked him up. He can say that.
Yeah.
Because his was catastrophic.
Oh, man.
Worked hard. So in his senior year, how are you going to talk to him? What did he do? Rehab. He may not have gotten his name called on the big stage, but
right.
somebody said, I'm going to take a chance on him. So those are the examples you want to give to your athlete. You also
nice.
Want to give, yeah, you want to give examples too of what their best body of work was. What was your best body of work? Remember when you threw two interceptions in a row and the coach was all over you and teammates were hanging their heads down? Then you came back in the second half and threw four great passes and three touchdown passes.
Nice.
So something like that. With our goalies, one thing we stress is I had a goalie, she's a senior now, she's out, she's going to be going to Lindenwood College.
And, sure,
and
here in St. Louis.
Yeah, and in her her first time I met her, she was a freshman. She's stopping goals and she's playing. I'm like, well, what year are you? She said, I'm a freshman. I said, whoa. So the first mental skills, if you will, talk that I had with her, because she came to me, she said, what do you do? Blah, blah, blah. So we were talking. And it got to the point, my first counseling, if you will, I said, stop the first one. And she said, stop the first one. And she said, what do you mean by that? I said, when you stop the first goal that comes at you, do you know how well your teammates are going to rise for you? They're going to protect you, because we have a saying on our team, protect your goalie at all times, because she's going to protect you.
Nice.
She's going to get that one shot that's going to win the game if you protect her. So we were talking before the championship game on a Thursday. Championship game was Friday. We're sitting on a hill. And I said, do you remember the first thing I said to you? She's trying to remember. And I said, it ends in sun. And it looks like when you're on the highway, there's this red sign, or on the street, or there's this red sign. And she said, stop the first one. She started laughing. So what does she do in the championship game? She stops the first one.
Boy, that's awesome.
And we go on to win. And, she's an awesome kid and gets good grades. Love her to death. Going to miss her a lot.
Excellent. But that's one heck of an example. What gives you the most satisfaction when it comes to working with these athletes?
Just knowing that they support the process. It's not winning and losing or what the score is. It's the greatest satisfaction is when they leave the game, especially on the high school level, they become what they want to become. Whether it's in academics, whether it's in athletics, and they embrace the process. They may not remember me, but they're going to remember what I said. And one other saying that I have for them is, play to your specifications, not to anybody else's. Your
what does that
specifications.
Mean?
Well, and I, it's funny where I get some things from. You know, you don't get everything from textbooks. when you look at car specs, it has specifications.
Yes.
When you look at a label on food, it has specifications. So I was like, I kept hearing that word in my head. I said, specification. I said, play to your specification. What do you specify? How do you specify how you're going to play today?
Boy, that makes sense.
So it just popped out one day. And sometimes as sports psychology consultants, it's the theory and processes behind what you study.
Sure.
But you say things to your athletes in layman's terms. I'm one of those people that play on words a lot, and it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You can have a coach, you know, yelling about focus and be mentally tough and all these things. And this year I got the opportunity to coach our JV team because I'm actually level 2 certified in lacrosse for coaching.
Nice.
Though I can't mix the two up because you can't have a dual role. Either
right.
You're the sports psychology consultant or you're in the coaching box, so to speak. So when I coach,
right.
I'm coaching. When I do the other, I do the other. So with those JV players, it's not, okay, ladies, guess what? Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to focus so we learn how to shoot. They go, oh, we get to shoot today. Not hammering them about their focus because they're already there, so they have to have somewhat of focus.
Right.
You can tell when an athlete might be losing focus or what have you. You can tell that. So in that vein, it's how you say it to that person.
Yeah, and I really like play to your specification. Boy, that is awesome. I've never heard that before, and that is really, really good. Again, all the key points that Reggie's making would be in the show notes, but play to your specification.
Right.
I love that.
Because in the end, it is about them, not the coaching staff, not the ownership. It really is about them and how they perform, because if they perform well, everything else will come. And I think athletes sometimes don't realize that if you work hard and you perform, your stuff will come. The
yes.
adulation, the coach backing you up, the ownership backing you up. We know it's a business, NFL-wise, and other sports. But it will come if you play to your specifications.
I love it. I love it. Boy, that's awesome. You need to trademark that one. That one is that's awesome there. I tell you what, Reggie, I want to take you through a scenario. And during
sure.
a scenario, you know, I'm going to give you a situation of an athlete you've been working with for quite some time. I'm going to put that athlete in a particular situation. You give us a coaching point of maybe what you would do to help this athlete.
Sure.
Let's say that I'm a women's tennis player and I'm in the championship match and it's one set apiece. And I just double fault. I hit 2 directly into the net, and I am upset. And my thought process is really focusing right now on my serve and that double fault that I just had. What kind of technique would you give this particular athlete, or how would you help this athlete really stay in the moment and not kind of worry about what happened in the past and put their best foot forward to continue to compete?
Sure. First thing I'm going to do is have a process in practice with that scenario.
Oh, nice.
You're playing Serena. Sets are 1 apiece. You are going to get ready to go up 5-4. And you double fault. And now you're at 5-5. And you're playing the number 1 player in the world. And you had a chance. So we're going to play that out in practice. We're going to have some crowd noise a little bit and then a hush over the crowd. And we're going to actually have the person, the girl serve or the lady serve. She does double fault. The first technique we're going to use is we're going to back off the line. We're going to turn around and look at the wall. And what I want them to do is look at themselves and breathe and relax. Then we would have a cue phrase on the wrist saying calm. Left wrist says calm, right wrist says attack. I have to borrow one note. We use this in lacrosse too, and I got it from the race driver Takuma Sato. I have to admit, no attack, no chance. and I use it in lacrosse all the time.
Boy, that's
so
good.
I would have that on a wrist, no attack. So we come back up to the line, we position ourselves, we reposition ourselves, and get the ball in. Now, Serena may blast it back, and that's fine, but we got the ball in.
Nice.
And I want them to visualize when they do get the ball in. Try to do the best that they can to stay calm and stay in the moment, because we got out of the moment after the double fault and we threw our racket. You're not in the moment anymore.
That's right.
You lost your moment. You lost your process, because in the end, we're at 5-5. We didn't win the match, but we didn't lose it either. Trying to regroup the best we can mentally and getting the first point back, hitting her serve back. She may not get an ace, but you hit it back to her, and then you can go through your process. And that's what I would do with a very young player who's just starting. Let's say you have a Madison Keys. Let's just take her, and she's in that moment, younger player, and keep telling her, you know, it's going to work. It's going to work, and believe in your ability. And again, play to your specification. You know that double fault wasn't to your specification.
Right.
But now play to your specification.
I've talked to so many sports psychologists and mental game coaches all over the country, and in some huge major universities and professional working with athletes. Those are two things I never heard before, which is great. Okay. Play to your own specifications. I've never heard it. Reggie says that they would have already practiced that scenario. That is flat awesome. I mean, it just makes so much sense that you practice some of the negative things or bad things that could happen in the game. So if that happens, that athlete already has a plan to get through it. That is flat out awesome. I've never heard it, and it makes so much sense. Well, Reggie, we've come to the time in the show that we love to call the training round. And in the training round, you give two different sports and give our listeners two different mental training techniques that either coaches or athletes can use to increase their performance. Are you ready to go?
Yep, ready to go.
Okay, take it away.
Okay, let's say your quarterback throws an interception, and it's toward the end of the game. Toward the end of the game, you're driving for the tying score. You roll right, you throw across your body, which you know not to do, but you felt you saw a window. Nobody sees what you saw. You saw a window, but you didn't see the linebacker coming on the other side, and he picks you off. So you're dejected. Your head goes down. Your face drops. The crowd's booing you because you've done this before. So you come off the field, stand by the coach, or take a sip of water, and one of your teammates comes to you and says, look, we have three timeouts, or your quarterback coach, we have three timeouts. We'll get the ball back. Okay? You get the ball back. Somehow there's a fumble, which you don't expect. You get the ball and you drive for the winning score. Now, if that quarterback is thinking, woe is me, I just blew this game.
Right.
Then they're going to wallow in it, and it's going to carry over the next year. Let's take Russell Wilson. He throws an INT for a Super Bowl.
Yes.
It bothers him for 2 weeks. He finally gets through it. He may never get over it, but he gets through it. And that's the biggest key, getting through it. They're going to remind you, because we have social media now, and we have film, and it's on every talk show. You get through it. And the next time the play is called, you'll know what to do. My second example is, it actually happened in the championship game for our lacrosse team. And one of our best players just was not having her game. She was very nervous before the game. She wasn't herself. She stayed away from everybody. She was jumping up and down with the other girls and everything, but something wasn't quite right. So she didn't have her best game. She took herself out midway through the third, walked over by herself, was very, distraught. one of her teammates wanted to go by her, and I said, no, give her a minute. Because after a while, after 4 years knowing them as a freshman, you know who they are.
Right.
So she came over by me, and she said, I'm not helping my team. I said, do you realize you've helped your team for 3 years, win 3 championships in a row, and how many steals that you've had? She goes, yeah, but I'm not helping them today. I said, look, I guarantee you today you are going to make a play, and it's going to win the game for us. You'll make the play. Whether it's a steal, whether it's a score, you will make the play. And all the pain was going to go away from what you didn't do an hour ago. Stay in your moment. What happens? She makes a play. She scores a winning score. We win.
Wow.
So it's little, just knowing kind of how to take them back to what they did. Go back to the bottle again. Or the serve. How many aces did you serve prior to the double fault? You had 25 aces, let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
Then you double fault. You didn't choke. You didn't tighten up. You just didn't serve the way you normally serve. Okay. So now let's go back and get it. Same with the interception. You knew better, but you're going to get a second chance. And as an athlete, that's all you can ask for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And being ready for that second chance, stand in the moment.
Yeah.
That is flat awesome. Reginald Younger, he says, be mindful of your situation. He says to visualize what you've done well and set realistic goals coming off an injury. And the two things that is just flat awesome, but I've never heard that, it just makes so much sense. He says, play to your own specifications and practice scenarios and practice that might come up during the game. That way you are prepared for it. That is flat awesome. All that stuff will be in the show notes.
Okay.
After, right there on the website. Reginald, I want to thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. I know you're extremely busy. If you guys want to find out more about Reginald Younger, what he can do, all the things he's done, how he can help you, your athlete, and your team, you can go to his website at VRCSportsPsychologyPerformanceGroup.com. That's VRCSportsPsychologyPerformanceGroup.com. That would be on the website as well. Reggie, thank you for your time. You completely knocked it out the park.
I really
appreciate you coming on the show. Let's do it again sometime real soon.
Okay, sir. You take care, and thanks for having me, and good luck to all the athletes out there.
Thank you for listening to Unlocking the Minds of Athletes with NFL veteran Isaac Byrd. For all important notes to this episode and previous episodes, please go to isaacbyrd.com. You can also follow Isaac on Twitter at Isaac Byrd. Would you please be so kind to leave a rating and honest review in iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts? Doing so would help the podcast rating so that Isaac can get these interviews into the ears of people like yourself that would benefit greatly. Until next time, don't wait for success. Create it.